Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 13th of June, recording at 9:10 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights, and I'm afraid this was a day where pretty well all the trends that we've seen over the last 5 weeks continued. Big hits on the downside for global stock markets. I don't really see any exceptions in here. The most interesting development of the day, I suppose, was that Wall Street started down, moved up about 50 on the Dow, hovered around unchanged, but then slipped off, as we've seen on so many occasions in the last, it's about the last half hour, really. Didn't close with the big gains that we saw elsewhere, but the Dow still down 86 points and just over 1% on the S&P. So you'd have to be an optimist to talk about that in terms of slowing. Government bonds, again, against this background of weakness, some firmness, but not all that much, really. The biggest news of all here was the hit in the precious metal sector. I mean, silver just really plunged, and gold had its biggest drop as well for many years. That leaves silver trading after hours here at 962.5. It leaves gold bullion trading at 562.5. So these were really big hits. That's down over $41 on gold. Looking at statistics on this, I think silver, well, down about 37% from that high, and gold down about, I think it's down about 23% overall. Industrial metals were hit. Crude oil was hit. That slipped back to 68.30. That's the NYMEX crude. Natural gas was up a little bit most of the day, but just slipped slightly into the minus column by the close. I think those are really the highlights in here. I haven't looked at the soft commodities, although I see soybeans are down 5. I can see that on the screen. And did I mention, I didn't mention the US dollar. Again, continuation of these trends here. Weak stock markets, weak precious metals, and we get gold edging upwards. So what you can certainly say for central banks, all that tough talk on inflation and raising interest rates and draining liquidity has certainly given them a victory here in terms of these measures certainly signal that those inflationary pressures will subside a bit temporarily, but temporarily can be for quite a few months. So I think that's fairly predictable, and I've mentioned it previously. But okay, where are we here in this scarifying descent for so many markets? My view on the stock markets is that no, it's not over. At least I don't see any evidence that it is over. But at this rate of descent, we're getting to a bottom area faster than I would have otherwise envisaged. And certainly, quite a bit of value is coming back into some of these ratings. I mean, I looked at the Indian Nifty Index, for instance. That's the sort of the blue chip Indian index, I believe. And, you know, India has come down a long way here overall, I think 28% off the high. But look at this, the price earnings ratio is down to 14.61, and the yield's up to 1.88. Now, that's not a screaming buy, but if you feel as I do about India's long-term potential, this has come right back into a fair value region. And a lot of other stock markets around the world, among commodity producers, a number of the major Asian markets, as I've been mentioning in recent days, are really on quite attractive valuations here. So I feel, unless the central banks really go way overboard My feeling is that they've gone overboard a bit here anyway, in the sense that you're raising interest rates and BOJ's draining liquidity out of the system. Inevitably, that's going to rein in runaway asset prices. It has to. Now, there's the question of when, and it takes longer very often than people expect. These markets have a momentum and psychology all of their own. But if I were a central banker, I was discussing this with Peter Bennett earlier in the day. If I were a central banker, I think we both agreed on this, that I would have started raising the rates higher and sooner. And then once markets started to take fright, I would back right off because you've done the work and you've set in train the reaction that you wished to see. Now, fortunately, I'm not a central banker, and the ones that are clearly in charge here and have made their presence felt, and they have been leaning on these markets. And just my concern, my big concern on that is really only that it could have economic consequences if they don't back off fairly soon. But in terms of backing off, I think in some of the emerging markets, we're getting signs that they feel that, again, markets are back in line. That certainly applies to India. When I saw an interview, I think it was just yesterday, with the finance minister overall. But the Fed's position, that's a little bit more chauncey here, because we must be, what, about 8% down on the S&P, maybe 13 on the NASDAQ. Those are rough guesses, but they won't be far out. So those don't really represent that big a correction overall. And I talk about the leash effect a lot. Well, there are new subscribers coming in all the time, and a fair number of trialists, who I also hope will become new regular subscribers, annual subscribers. But for as long as veteran subscribers can probably remember, I've been talking about the Wall Street leash effect. In other words, hope springs eternal that markets are going to uncouple from what we actually see on Wall Street, but they don't. And because Wall Street's valuations were quite high, created a situation where Wall Street would underperform, as we saw really during the 39 months from March 2003 up into May of last month. So, although Wall Street was recovering, it was underperforming just about every other stock market around the world. And excuse me, and it's been outperforming, though, on the downside. In other words, it's been falling less than the other markets. And that's what we often see, and what I have what I've been looking for. But in terms of the leash effect, the basic premise of that is that when Wall Street is steady, let alone rising, then other markets can romp. Other markets around the globe can romp on the upside. And conversely, when Wall Street is declining, then other markets are going to fall. And because they had run ahead on that leash and are higher beta, they will fall faster and further than Wall Street. And that's a relationship that's just existed really for a very long time, and I don't expect it to change anytime soon. Although I have said in the past that if any market was going to uncouple, it would probably be the China A-share market, which was mostly local, and they're not allowed to invest in other markets. Everything else is part of the whole globalization game in here. But overall, I do feel that while there's no evidence that the stock market correction is over, and I'm certainly not trying to talk the markets up in here, I'm just a commentator who comes in and invests and trades from time to time. To repeat a point I made, that the speed with which these markets have descended indicates to me, and the valuations that I see against that background, and some of the panicky psychology that I see in the press, that suggests very much to me that we have seen the bigger part of the decline that we're likely to get. Now, you may say, well, that's a small consolation. I wouldn't want to live through another 5 weeks like this. Central banks will be an influence, as I said, I've stressed all along, that they would determine, in predicting this correction for the second and third quarters of this year, I said that the central banks would determine with their policies the timing and extent of the overall correction. But my best guess is still that we will see an important bottom, a sustainable bottom for just about all of these stock markets before the end of October, possibly quite a bit sooner. But I think that the speed of the descent, though, will necessitate a longer convalescence, as I've said before. In other words, markets will go dull, they'll bumble along after the heavy selling subsides, and they'll range. They'll basically range for a while and have to rebuild support, demonstrate to investors that demand has come in and offset supply, and it would obviously help considerably if central banks had given some sort of indication that they felt that they had perhaps reached the end of their tightening overall. And in my comment that value is returning to these markets, of course, value can go on and improve further still. But you know, again, India, you know, that's one of my favorite markets for the very long term. And when I see the valuation on the Indian Nifty being better than the valuation on the S&P, and I don't have too many doubts, this is nothing anti-American, anti-US, but I don't have too many doubts that in the Indian market is likely to grow a good deal faster than the US market, just as would be the case with any emerging market which experiences reasonably good governance. We would expect that to be the case. So value in the markets, but still no sign that we've actually seen the lows. No need to rush in here because in terms of establishing new positions, because I certainly don't think markets are going to run away from us on the upside anytime soon. But this is becoming a buyer's market in the sense that you'll be able to pick and choose in terms of the areas that interest you most. And well, all I would be doing at this stage is just lining up your areas of greatest interest. And you have time to think about that. You have plenty of time to study the charts in terms of how they're performing, and I think it'll be a combination of the values and your own preferences and what starts to show early relative strength in these markets. Okay, enough on all that. Government bonds, this is really a situation where they're taking their cue from stock markets, and that will continue to be the case. But we're not getting really strong rallies here that may deter the central banks in terms of deter them from announcing that they're going to keep rates on hold for a while, because the fact that the bond yields are not rising all that much does suggest that investors are still concerned about inflation. But in terms of gold and silver, I think that certainly, and a number of the industrial commodities coming off their highs, that again, central banks can be reasonably well satisfied with that. And more important for you and me, I think both gold and silver, platinum and palladium, that these have come back to really interesting areas. Now, that doesn't mean that they can go further in this environment, this very scary environment. It's the nature of markets to overshoot. But this is, as far as I'm concerned, this is attractive value here. And I would expect gold and silver to be higher and perhaps considerably higher in a year's time. Now, the only one exception, and I've mentioned this in answer to an email today, the only one exception that I could see to that would be if for some reason the central banks or perhaps the IMF singled out gold and either sold some gold, and I've seen no rumors to this effect, and so on, but I'm saying there would be an outside chance that they could single out gold and try to drive it down a bit further in here. Personally, I think that would be a mistake because it would receive a fair amount of criticism, not least from the producing countries. But you remember, you go back to whenever it was when we last had the European central banks selling gold quite aggressively, and that led to quite a few comments from the producers, complaints from the producing countries. But gold was back down near its lows at that stage, and it's well above those levels. But again, I'm not going to worry too much about that. Central banks have, I think, quite wisely avoided commenting on gold, and so I rest my case. There's good value in that market. And I think I've gone on enough here. Let's hope things become a little less exciting fairly soon. All the best.